Hey friends, welcome back. It's the fourth episode of Tabi Tabi Podcast. Ethan here, and I hope you're all doing fine. If you just stumbled upon this account and you are interested in Philippine folklore, spooky stories, and other Asian legends, well then you're in the right place, because that's what I do here. Today's topic is a doozy. I tried my best to explain this creature the best I could, and I hope you can understand me. Admittedly, it was a bit hard to find a decent information about this creature, but hopefully you'll still learn something new here. This fourth episode won the Instagram poll a month ago, so thank you to everyone who voted for the Onglo. But we can't start the episode without thanking the wonderful patrons supporting the podcast. For the multi-tier, a huge thank you to Terrence C, Christina N, St. Peaches, Stephanie E, James G, and Earl B. For the Anita tier, a huge thank you to Vitan A, Jordan, Mona, her daughter Luna, Legion, Roman, and Philip. And a special thanks to Michelle G, Bonkers, and Carlo C. Thank you so very much for your support, and hopefully you like the benefits of your current tier. And you, my dear listeners, if you decide to become a patron, go ahead to patreon.com/tabitabipod. There are three tiers to choose from, the Multo tier for $2, the Tao tier for $4, and the Anito tier for $6. Early access to episodes, exclusive updates, and exclusive episodes are among the benefits. So come and join us! Or if you're feeling generous and just want to help, you can give me a tip on coffee, just go to ko-fi.com/tabitabipod. I forgot to mention this, but we do have a YouTube channel, so if you want, please subscribe and listen to the episodes there. Basically, the uploads on the YouTube channel is an update on the episodes that I've tackled before. Because obviously, I started this with little to no knowledge about the creatures and with little information that I could find on the internet, so I'd like to give an update. Because I'm pretty sure that in some episodes, they needed to be updated. I've recently acquired a lot of books about Philippine folklore, so I wanted to give an update on that. So if you want to hear updates about the episodes I had discussed here already, please go to Tabi Tabi Podcast. It's on YouTube as well. So thank you so much. Yeah. So with that said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Today's topic is the Onglo. To be honest, this episode gave me quite a headache because I knew so little about this creature. I was concerned that this would be a short episode. Fortunately, I stumbled upon an article that was a big help in expanding this episode, which I will talk about later. I discovered two different versions of this creature. One is from Bicol, while the other is from Visayas. Let's start with the one from Bicol. Onglo, from the research of Madame Edin K. Nasayaw in her book Bicol Beliefs and Folkways, is a 1 foot tall creature with a lot of hair that causes anyone who touches it to itch all over. She described the Onglo in her book as having long, straight black hair covering its entire body from head to toe. It has clawed feet and long, sharp fingernails as well as long, pointy ears. Some also describe the Onglo as a creature with a man's upper body and a horse's lower body. So I'm imagining like a centaur. The rancid odor of an Onglo can be detected by humans. I don't know exactly what type of smell it refers to, but I imagine the smell resembles that of a person who hasn't bathed for weeks. Now, what does the Onglo eat to survive? Apparently, this creature feeds on food that has been left out in the sun to dry, such as dried fish. Moving on, let's learn about the Onglo's version of the Waray. The Waray describe the Onglo as large and frightful. They are said to live in swamps where they can find their food, which is a shellfish called a tuwai. His elbows and knees are strong and hard as a big rock. The Onglo uses them to crush things and to open up items like shellfish. You can tell the Onglo is eating when you hear the shells of the tuwai or tuwai being broken. So if you find yourself in a swamp and you hear some shells being broken, stay put because there might be an Onglo nearby. It is unclear whether the Onglo is dangerous to people, but it's best to be safe than sorry and just stay away from them. Now, the Onglo is also known to eat raw meat and wild fruit, so they're not really limited to just shellfish. To add or shed more light about the Onglo, I thankfully stumbled upon Pistingyawa, the devil who was once a Bisayan deity, by Christian Jeo and Talagit of De La Salle University. And while this article mainly focused on Yawa, they did mention the Onglo. According to the article, the Onglo were a race of giants that are well attested in Waray and Cebuano folklore. Many of the authors cited by Mr. Talagit in the article have conflicting definitions of the Onglo. The authors mentioned in the article, I don't exactly know who they are, but from my research, it seems that they are missionaries from Spain or chroniclers. So please correct me if I'm wrong. Moving on, for example, according to Mateo Sanchez, the Onglo is a diwata. For Alfonso de Mentrida, the Onglo is a male sorcerer, not a diwata. While Encarnacion claims that it includes both male and female sorcerers, so unlike Alfonso de Mentrida's statement, it is not limited to just a male sorcerer. For De La Rosa, however, he described the Onglo as a towering man who dwells in the woods. The Onglo is also classified as a duende in his book Español Bisaya Diccionario, with additional linkages to aswang, balbal, and the notion of barang. Now, based on these contradictory facts offered by these Spanish chroniclers, the Onglo could be characterized as the following. They are tall, they are supernatural spirits, they have an affinity with magic and sorcery, and they are feared as aswangs or flesh eaters. But, according to Francisco Alsina, the Onglo is neither a witch, a diwata, or even a soul or a specter. He depicts the creature as being of material flesh, resembling a black man who in stature is 1.5 times taller than an ordinary human. It is thin and foul, and it always lives in the mountains. Mr. Talagit went on to say that Alsina most likely was erroneous when he removed the Onglo's spiritual classification in his statement. Because the flesh-spirit duality in Christian theology is a hazy concept in indigenous religious tradition. The Gnostic belief in the dualism of flesh and spirit is that the flesh is wicked and must be purified, whereas the eternal spirit is benign. Gnostics in general thought that human existence aimed to return to the spiritual realm from which all things originated. Death, then, was viewed as the freedom of the spirit. So while the term diwatas are sometimes referred to as spirits, the only general connection between them and the Christian spirits is that both are thought to be invisible under normal circumstances. With that said, we must recognize that the Christian notion of spirits differs from that of the indigenous people. Furthermore, Mr. Talagit says that, as shown in folklore and traditions, the diwatas frequently fulfill the same activities as humans and have many similarities. They marry, have sex, have children, feel pain, and even die. So while the Onglo is depicted in an empirical manner, as Alsina observes, this does not rule out the possibility that they are diwatas. Returning to Alsina, he says that the Onglos are commonly linked with kidnapping mortals, particularly children and young ladies. Surprisingly, unlike Yawa, the Onglos are not portrayed as evil, only taking their victims to foster them for years in their dark lair in the far mountains before delivering them to human settlements. This is also done to kidnapped women who have clearly failed to acclimate to life with them. And this just backs up my thought that the Onglo might be harmless to humans, though I have to wonder, what do they do with humans they've captured? Are they trying to look for a companion? A wife, maybe? We don't know, but since it mentioned failed to acclimate to the life with them, I assume that they're trying to look for someone to be with them, someone to grow old with, probably. Maybe they're lonely. Who knows? And that is it for the fourth episode of season 9. The Onglo having two versions, one from Bicol where it is covered with hair and the moment you touched it, you itched all over your body. And the Onglo of the Waray where it is portrayed as a giant or a supernatural spirit or that they could have affinity with magic and sorcery or they are feared as aswangs or flesh eaters. Once again, a huge thanks to everyone who participated in the poll on Instagram. I do hope you understood the topic today. I hope that I was able to introduce the Onglo to you in a proper manner and that you get to be curious. Unfortunately, I couldn't find more information about this, so yeah. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always give me a tip on coffee at ko-fi.com/tabitabipod. Thank you to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you so very much for supporting the podcast. Please stay safe. Once again, if you hear dogs barking in the background, I can't really do anything about it. The neighbor's dogs, they're just crazy. But yeah, this has been Ethan and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!